Who do you think you are talking to me like this for a part-time job?
She is like nasty.
You're allowed to take days off.
She's like, if the date goes poorly, you're working every weekend for the rest of the year.
What?
I'm sorry.
You're not a witch. It's like a curse. What is it?
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob.
And welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 413, Hopeless, which originally aired on January 31st, 2001.
Well, before we get into that, I think we need to discuss the insane events of Monday.
Insane!
Monday, July 21st, a day that will go down in infamy and...
Not infamy. Celebration by all Dawson's Creek fans.
It will go down in history is what I meant.
Yes, absolutely it will.
July 21st, a day that will go down in history.
Katie and Josh.
I think we could say it's by far the most important bit of news we probably have gotten since the finale. I think that's fair to say. Katie Holmes and Joshua Jackson are starring in
a trilogy. Oh my God.
So that's the thing. Okay, so this will be written, directed, and produced by Katie. She's also starring in it. Josh is starring in it with her. So this would have been monumental news if it was just one movie. I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that it's going to be a trilogy.
I know. And like, how is this just breaking now? They're starting to shoot, right? Or were they doing a meeting?
It looked like they're shooting. There is a cameraman in the background of some of the photos. Okay, so let's talk about Monday. Page Six was the first one to break it. They posted pictures of Katie and Josh. Something is being filmed. My immediate thoughts went to like, they're doing a commercial. You know, for sure. Like Tori Spelling and Brian Austin Green just did a commercial. You know, I was like, oh, they must be doing, I think they did like a Neutrogena commercial. I was like, oh, they must be filming something together.
Totally.
About 30 minutes later, Deadline drops the bomb that it is a movie that, like we said, is being written, directed, and produced by Katie, starring Josh. And the plot of the movie is two people reconnecting who are each other's first loves, which is wild.
Chef's kiss.
It's like you can't even make this up.
The feeling in my heart.
It's unreal.
It's familiar and new all at the same time.
It's unreal. This is going to be the most important trilogy of, I would say the third most important trilogy of my life, probably.
Oh, what are the first two?
Star Wars, Godfather, question mark? Not really. I mean, I want to say Godfather because I'm like a student of film, but like, not really. This might be number one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm just so nervous. Like, what if it's bad? What if it's not good? What if Josh is only in one?
Even if it's bad, it's going to be good.
I know.
All of these photos of them, it's insane. It is literally Pacey looking at Joey. Like the way all of the photos are Katie Holmes looking off into the distance and Joshua Jackson looking at Katie Holmes. Their chemistry is unreal.
Unreal.
I'm getting it from the photos and I'm sure I'm projecting like 95% of it, but like it's nuts.
No, they look like they have the chemistry, the natural chemistry. They look like they're very good friends. You're talking about the photos on the street.
Yes, correct.
But when the press release dropped, there was a professional photo with her arm around him.
Ah, yeah. No. I don't mean the post photos. I mean the candids from the street. Yeah.
We should discuss the post photo because that took it to a new level. It was a very Joey Pacey photo. So this has inspired me. I now need to watch every movie that Katie Holmes directed. I still never saw the one from 2 years ago.
Me neither. Okay, we should do that together and we should talk about them.
So we're going to do that. I just don't know. I don't know what to think.
Like, you mean if you should be nervous that it'll flop or like what do you feel in your heart?
Just like so many questions. Like, how did it come about?
I know. How is it under wraps?
Did she write it with him in mind? How is it under wraps? The dinner that supposedly happened a few months ago that like Busy Phillips confirmed didn't happen. Like, did it happen? Was it just them? You know, did she write it with him in mind? You know, what would have happened if Dr. Odyssey came back? Like, would he have been able to do it? Did this pop up after Dr. Odyssey got canceled?
That is such a good... You just blew my mind. I bet that it didn't come together until it was official that Dr. Odyssey was canceled. And then he was like, I can do it. And then they pivoted. And that's how we got here.
Thank God it was.
Oh, thank God.
So, like, there was that trilogy with Ethan Hawke, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and, like, Before Midnight, like, which followed two people over the course of different times of their lives. Like, was it inspired by that? I just have so many questions. Is Josh going to be in every one? Is, like, one going to be them when they're young? Do they have to, like, cast other people to play them when they're young?
Imagine they pulled off, like, the ultimate thing and they shot a movie in 2000 with the two of them and then they just, like, dropped. Obviously, that's not what happened, but can you imagine the fervor? I feel butterflies just thinking about it.
And then can confirm the news we woke up to today, Tuesday, July 22nd, is that after years of speculation, Josh has finally followed Katie Holmes on Instagram, followed her back. She's been following him this whole time. She's been liking his pictures. He hasn't followed her, but now he does.
I feel like this is our Super Bowl.
This is our Super Bowl. And I'm just going to say it. They're both single.
I know. I haven't wanted to say it out loud.
What if they reconnect and what if they get back? Oh my God. What if they have like a little blended family?
Oh my God. I just love it. I just love it.
It's wild. Like I can't even believe it. It's happening. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's called Happy Hours. We should mention it's called Happy Hours.
Yes.
So like, is every movie an hour? Probably not. It probably needs to be longer. But like, is it like one of those? Like an hour every 10 years or something? Did she write it about him? Because, you know, they dated in 1997.
You asked this question 7 times already. And I love that.
No, I didn't.
That's top
I said,
of mind.
Did she write it with him in mind? As in the
actor?
Oh,
I understand. I understand.
Like, did she want him... But now I'm wondering, like, is based on first loves, like, is it about him? Those are different questions.
I thought you just kept hammering the same question. We need answers.
It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's.
And are they shooting in, were those photos from New York? Are they in New York?
It looked like New York. I want to say it was New York.
Should I just start wandering around the streets?
Yeah. Where is that?
I'm gonna hit up that guy on TikTok that can pin down any location based on like the curb colors and the signs. Have you ever seen that guy?
I think so.
He can look at any photo and like find it on the globe. I'm gonna find him.
It's just what a time. It was just one of those experiences. Like I saw it and I was like, no, this can't be. Like, this is a dream.
Especially in the world of AI.
When we posted the initial post, there were a bunch of comments being like, this is AI. It's not real. It's real.
It's real. And I can't wait.
Do you think she wrote it with him in mind? I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. If you're her, do you write two wildly different characters than Joey and Pacey? Or do you keep them similar? There's a lot. There's a lot to digest here.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It doesn't matter because either way, it's going to be from the way that he is looking at her in those photos. I know that it's going to be everything I want it to be. And that's Joshua Jackson in a nutshell.
They're laughing. They're having fun.
They're going to fall in love. I can't wait.
That's what I'm wondering.
I hope.
The other thing, which is a footnote on all of it, Michelle Williams got nominated for an Emmy last week. But I mean, you know.
Who cares? Snore.
when you're coming off this news.
Just kidding. Congrats. Congrats. Congrats, Michelle.
I'm staring at this gash in my head. Do you see it?
Oh, I do see it. Is that from falling off a bridge or whatever happened to you?
Yes.
What happened?
Should I get into it now? We'll save it.
We'll save it. Oh, tease. We love a tease.
I almost died at the Olympic Village. Tease. So what are we drinking for episode 413, Hopeless?
Why did I call it this? We're drinking the dream cocktail. Why did I make it that?
We are drinking the dream cocktail because, I don't know.
It made sense in my mind at the time.
Hope, dream? Was there something there? Hopes and dreams?
Maybe it'll come to me when I listen to your recap. You will need cognac, orange curacao, absinthe, simple syrup, and an egg white.
I'll be honest. It sounds terrible.
I love a little boozy cocktail. I don't love absinthe.
I don't think I like any. I don't think I like one thing you listed.
I like cognac. I like orange curacao. I like simple syrup as just sugar.
That I like.
And egg white.
You know what? I don't like egg white drinks. It freaks me out.
I understand. You could do a little aquafaba, chickpea liquid. You ever do that?
No, I never even heard of that.
Yeah. Instead of egg whites, that's what you can use. It foams it right up.
Wow. Well, I suppose I should dive into the recap.
Yeah, tell us what it's about, and I'll figure out why I picked the dream as the drink.
Episode 413, Hopeless, opens at Leary's Fresh Fish, where Gretchen's supposed to be working, but instead she's on the phone with her college friend, Tara. Gail catches her, and she's not happy about it, especially since customers are waiting for their wine at table 9. When Gail leaves, Dawson comes back and apologizes for taking so long to find the wine. He tries to reassure Gretchen that this is just his mom being hormonal because of the pregnancy, not because she doesn't like her. But Gretchen's still worried and thinks that Gail thinks their age difference is inappropriate. Gretchen wonders if maybe it's time for Dawson to come meet some of her college friends who are coming to town. Dawson's not really sure about this, but he agrees anyway. Then Gail catches them kissing at work, which does not help matters. Over at the yacht club, Joey's trying to get Friday and Saturday off for the senior trip. Mrs. Valentine says she'll only give her the time off if Joey and Pacey go on a double date with Drew and Anna Evans. Anna is the daughter of Yacht Club board president, and basically Joey's job would be to babysit the whole thing and make sure that Anna has a good time. Meanwhile, Dawson is visiting Mr. Brooks, whose health has gotten a lot worse. He's in a wheelchair now, and Grams is taking care of him. He has Dawson sign some papers that are supposedly so he can pick up his medication, but something feels sketchy about it. While they're hanging out, Mr. Brooks tells Dawson that he should finish up the documentary and not take things too slowly with Gretchen, since Dawson has way more time ahead of him than he does to fall in and out of love. Things get pretty heavy when Mr. Brooks mentions that he has pancreatic cancer. They get emotional talking about film and share a very meaningful hug that's emotional for Mr. Brooks. Later, when it's just Mr. Brooks and Grams, he tells her that he's actually glad that Dawson wrecked his boat in that storm because it allowed him to meet Dawson and Grams. Grams reminds him that they'd met before, but then she finds all these pills that he's been saving up and hiding instead of taking. He explains that he wants to keep his mind clear and have some control over how things end, which obviously upsets Grams. So then there's this whole thing with Jack and Toby. Toby shows up and asks Jack to help with his tutoring program for kids, and Jack's hesitant because of what happened with the soccer team, where everyone found out he was gay and he was fired. But Toby tells him that everyone already knows that he's gay and they're cool with it. So Jack actually ends up going, and he's really great with the kids. There's this one kid who doesn't want to read, so Jack actually gets him to write his own stories and spell the words as they go. But things get awkward when Toby asks Jack to get coffee, and that's when Jack realizes that Toby likes him, and this has all been a setup. Toby admits that he talked to Jen about his crush on Jack, and she said that he should start pursuing Jack as friends. Jack tells Toby straight up and very clearly that it's never going to happen. After some consideration, he decides to stay on board and help with the tutoring. So back to Pacey, Joey, and the double date. It's weird from the start. Pacey's being super polite and charming with Anna because that's what Joey asked him to do, while Drew is being really rude to her. And Anna and Pacey are really hitting it off, while Joey and Drew are just standing there like third wheels. It's almost like they're on dates with the wrong people. Drew keeps being mean to Anna even though she clearly likes him, and finally Anna's had enough and she drops the bomb that she can't believe she slept with Drew, which totally shocks Joey and Pacey, and then she storms off. Pacey goes after her and she tells him that sex has always been easy for her, but she really wanted Drew to actually like her. She asks Pacey if he would like her, and Pacey says that he can't really answer that because of Joey, but he tells her that she has way more to offer than just her looks. So meanwhile, Joey's giving Drew hell for treating Anna so badly after sleeping with her, and he opens up and says that he is terrible with girls because he's only been to an all-boys school, and Joey tells him that he needs to be honest and vulnerable with girls like he's being with her right now. This actually gets through to him, and he goes and apologizes to Anna, and they end up kissing and making up, much to Pacey and Joey's surprise. Pacey thinks Anna is crazy for taking Drew back so fast, but Joey thinks it's because he actually really likes her and was just being mean because he didn't know how to handle his feelings. She's just shocked that they had sex so quickly, and Pacey points out that that's what happens when two people want to do something. The whole thing in the comment gets Joey worked up, and they start talking about their own relationship issues. They admit that they have a problem. It's been 8 months and they still haven't slept together. Pacey says that he doesn't want to mess up their relationship, but if they're not moving forward, it's not because of him. Joey tells Pacey that she wants him, but she's holding back because she's scared. Pacey says that he's scared too, and at least they end things both relieved to know that they're on the same page about that. Back at Dawson's house, Gretchen introduces him to her college roommates, Kira and Jessica. But then Gail comes in and starts giving Dawson grief about going to a club and staying out late, since when does he go clubbing? She gives him a curfew for the first time ever, which totally embarrasses him in front of Gretchen's friends. Later, Dawson tells Gail privately that it's too late for her to start being the strict parent now. If she wants to practice her discipline skills, she can do it with the new baby. At the club, Dawson feels totally out of his league and left out. These girls are all experienced, they're talking about sex and college life, and he's just trying to keep up. The age difference becomes really obvious when he gets stamped with an under 21 stamp on his hand. Gretchen's friends start talking about all their ex-boyfriends and their loser lists of guys they've dated, which makes Dawson super uncomfortable. Then they want to go to another bar that's 21 and over, and Dawson tells them to have fun without them. Really, he's fine. Gretchen should go and have fun with her friends. So he takes Gretchen's car home, and they'll take a cab. When he gets back to the Leary house, Dawson admits to his mom that maybe she was right about him and Gretchen being in different places. He's worried that he'll just end up being another disappointing that she tells her friends. But Gail actually apologizes as well and says that she was the one that was wrong. Putting yourself out there and risking getting hurt in love is the only way to find real love. Right then, Gretchen shows up because she felt guilty about ditching him. She tells him that her friends loved him, and they talk about their age difference. Dawson worries that he's holding her back, but she tells him that she's with him because she wants to be, not because he's the nice guy after a bunch of jerks. And this really quells Dawson's concern. The episode ends when Dawson goes to check on Mr. Brooks and finds him collapsed on the floor unconscious. And that is episode 413, Hopeless.
Kind of a filler episode for me, honestly. A setup episode, if you will.
Yeah, filler for sure. It's the mid-season slump. But I think this might be the only slumper, I think.
Because we were just talking last episode, right? We were just talking about how they hadn't hit that mid-season slump. And the next episode is a great one, so.
Yeah, and 15, 16, 17 are all good. And end of the seasons are always all good. So I think this might be the only slump episode, but I wouldn't even call it a slump. I would say it was more like what you said. It's just all set up.
Yeah, 100%. It's letting us know where everybody's at.
So who wrote and directed this?
This episode was written by Nan Hagen. She was last with us for episode 406, Great Expectations, which was such a good episode. This is her last written by credit for the series, but she is an executive story editor for the remainder of the season. So she's in the writer's room for this season. This episode was directed by Krishna Rao. This is his first episode with us. He started his directing career in 1996 with an episode of Crossworlds, and he has a bunch of directing credits, including two episodes of The Pretender, an episode of Angel, three episodes of Beverly Hills 90210, two episodes of Hawaii 5-0, four episodes of Magnum PI, but he has even more credits as a director of photography, a DP, which is basically the cinematographer on set. So they work closely with the director and they're in charge of the camera department and basically how things look. And he did that on tons of series, including The Pretender, The Unit, Hawaii 5-0, Magnum PI, and most recently, a Michelle Monaghan and Matt Bomer Netflix show called Echoes in 2022. I haven't heard of it.
Never heard of it, which is weird.
Yeah.
Matt Bomer.
I feel like that 2021-2022 TV streaming world was wild. Like, shows were coming out left and right, and then the strikes happened and things kind of got a little nutty, and a bunch of stuff just kind of fell by the wayside because people weren't allowed to do press to promote their stuff.
That's true.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that's his most recent credit. Like I said, there were strikes in 2022, so things got a little bit nutty. So it doesn't mean that he's not working anymore. It just maybe that it's tough to find a job. Who knows?
Amen.
Amen, brother. But yeah, he'll be with us for a total of three episodes, one more this season and then one in season 5, actually for 4 scary stories.
Yeah. You know, to the writer's credit, to Nan's credit, I will say I do think this episode and the one she wrote, Great Expectations, have like a really similar tone and point of view and voice and stuff. So to her credit, she has a strong voice.
Yeah.
Like the Gretchen Dawson stuff all kind of felt really similar. Not in a bad way, in like a complimentary way.
Consistent. Yeah.
Yeah, consistent and callback kind of a way. What about guest cast shout out?
I'm going to give the guest cast shout out this episode to Rachel True playing Kira, who is one of Gretchen's friends from college. She has a really long career. She started acting in 1990. She's had episodes of Cosby Show, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Beverly Hills 90210, Family Matters, The Drew Carey Show. She was a regular on a series called Half and Half. She had, I think it was something like 4 seasons of that. The thing that I know her from, and that immediately when I saw her on screen, I was like, oh, The Craft.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. We watched that movie so
much when I was, what, I guess in middle school.
Same, kind of same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a, for those of you who haven't seen it, a very dark, creepy take on this teen movie. Like, I feel like we lived in the peak era of teen movies. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Also, maybe just peak movies in general, but yeah.
True. There was a lot of money in movies then, where now it's a little more spread out. But that movie was everything to me. We loved it. We would walk down the street like we were the four witches in the movie. It was life.
I mean, it was Neve Campbell.
And the girl from The Waterboy. What is her name?
It was a great cast. Fairuza Balk?
Yeah. Yeah. Fairuza Balk.
Yeah, she's a star. It's a great movie. God, I hope everyone has seen The Craft. Can you imagine?
I can't.
Well, she's playing one of Gretchen's friends.
Yeah. She has such a distinct look. She's so pretty, I think. And she has like this curly hair that I always found envious as someone who cannot get curly hair. But yeah, she's still at it. She's recently had episodes of Better Things, Family Reunion, a show called Harlem. And last year she was in a half-baked sequel, which I didn't know existed. It's like her and David Koechner. So yeah, she's still at it. It was a pleasant surprise to see her on my screen.
What about Music Moment?
I watched this once with the original music and once without the original music. And I never would have been able to tell you that What a Wonderful World was in this episode. It's when Mr. Brooks and Dawson are talking and he makes him sign the paper, I believe. But there's an emotional moment and they're talking about falling in and out of love and how Dawson has so much time to do so. And it made the scene so much more emotional for me.
Yeah.
I was getting teary-eyed.
Yeah, it's a very touching song, touching moment.
Yeah. What about you?
I would say the same.
I think it's also worth mentioning that there are two on-camera clearances. So like, we've talked about it before, but oftentimes the music isn't necessarily tied to what's happening on screen, which is why and how Dawson's Creek has been able to swap out all of this music. But in this episode, Gretchen and her friends are singing along to the song that's on the radio when they're in the car. So that song, yeah, they had to, no matter what that person wanted for the clearances, had to pay that money. And then in the club, Mary Beth Maziarz has a performance.
Which is great.
Yeah.
As we know from one of our listeners, she was friends with Greg Berlanti, I believe, was the connection. Which is a fun fact I would never know. So thank you. But yeah, I think that was my music moment. I mean, I would say definitely the most recognizable.
Yeah.
But of course, I wouldn't equate it like you. Like, I wouldn't equate it to Dawson's Creek, but it was really touching. And I mean, things with Mr. Brooks are really ramping up. It's going to tug on our heartstrings.
Yeah. Well, that rolls right in, actually, to my past versus present, which is the Mr. Brooks stuff is hitting me so much harder this time around. Like, I don't know. It's probably just life experience and having lost people or whatever. But oh, this episode, it was killing me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And again, I always say that season four is like one of my favorite seasons, definitely the one I've rewatched the least. And I think a lot of the reason that I don't is because of Mr. Brooks and this whole arc. I kind of avoid it, or I'll watch the beginning, I'll watch next week's 414, and I'll watch the end and kind of skip over the Mr. Brooks. But now I'm definitely enjoying it a lot more. I'm definitely more emotionally invested, and just the same as you, life experience. But also, I mean, I'm like really invested in like the actor and the character this time. So I'm appreciating the actor.
Yeah, yeah, he's so good.
He's really good. And it's just sad. It's sad. But, you know, we talked about how this season's it started very dramatic, you know, Andy and the drugs, and it's just a dramatic season. So I like that they like tackled like cancer and this journey, and you know, they didn't know how to do it with one of the kids. So like one of the six. So it was interesting the way they brought him on, and like kind of it was a slow burn.
For sure.
He came on at 4:03, right? So it's been 10 episodes of just getting to know him.
And watching him slowly soften.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
has been a nice treat.
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Past versus present, just the Mr. Brooks arc in general, I just enjoyed a lot more.
Well, shall we open it up?
I guess.
It's wild to me that Gretchen is taking personal calls at work and acting like, oh, sorry. My friend's just such a talker. What are you doing, Gretch?
I know. It is weird, but like, I don't know. She's a bartender. Like, no one is at the bar. I don't know. I'm just trying to excuse it. But yes.
And then when Gail's like, get it together, she makes this face like, eek, like a little cringe, like, oh man, I messed up. Yeah, you did.
But I have a question about this, right? So it was the business line.
Yeah, because it's a landline. Yeah.
A landline. A portable. Portable is sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like Tara called her at work. We don't know.
We don't know. Or she called her. I don't know.
calling long distance on the Leary's Fresh Fish phone bill.
Can you imagine?
That is some call.
They've got a baby on the way. They can't be covering those calls.
They can't be covering your calls to Tara. Now, it's interesting that Tara is not one of the girls who shows up, which was like a very weird choice, I thought.
That's so funny. I did not even think of that until you said
it. Oh my God.
It's Kira and who?
Jessica?
I think. Yeah, something like that.
From the second, my best friend's name is Tara. So when she says Tara here, I'm like, oh, I wonder who plays Tara. Or like, I can't wait to meet Tara. And then they show up and she's like, this is Kira and Jessica. I was like, who are Kira and Jessica?
Man. Wretch. Tara's like sitting at a bus stop waiting to be picked up and they just forgot about her.
It was a choice. I just want to meet Tara. That's all. Justice for Tara. But the weird thing is, she says to Tara, okay, I'll ask him, or okay, I'll tell him, or something like that. Meaning like, I'll ask Dawson if he wants to hang out tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's something weird going on.
Tara came down with the stomach flu, and she's so upset that she didn't get to meet the new guy.
They probably filmed this cold open, and then on set, someone was like, when they were filming the Kira Jessica scenes, like, I hate the name Tara. Let's give us the name. Kira.
Close enough. Perfect. We'll take it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Gail's pissed.
Gail is pissed.
It's like Zachariah on Instagram. Your father's pissed. Your mother's pissed.
I love him.
Look, Gail is here. She has layers. She has bangs.
Gail has layers and Gail has layers. We've said it and we'll say it again.
She's working. She's head bobbing. She's pissed. Table 9 does not have its wine.
Also, like, where's Mitch? Gail is carrying the business. Gail is handing out the discipline with Dawson. Mitch is nowhere to be seen.
I don't know. I'm okay with it. Because I like the Gail. I like
a single mom who works two jobs.
I like Gail and Dawson stuff. And, you know, when we've had a lot of Gail and Mitch, like Dawson reprimanding kind of.
It's true. We have.
What I thought was cute is that Dawson has been looking for the wine this whole time. And Gretchen didn't like sell Dawson down the river to get credit with like, oh, I sent Dawson 10 minutes ago to look for it.
Gail's like, table 9 needs their bottle of wine.
They've been waiting 10 minutes for their wine, which team Gail.
Team table 9.
Don't keep me waiting 10 minutes. Dawson's looking adorbs in his uniform, I feel. He's really making Aqua work.
Maybe he was the model at home trying on the different shirts.
Look, it's not an easy color, especially when the wall is the same color.
He's got that new relationship glow, honestly.
Yeah, all that hand holding. But he assures Gretchen that Gail is being a monster at home and at work, and it's hormonal and it's not her. But she's afraid that Gail just sees her. You know, I know Gail likes me as Pacey's older sister, but does she like me as her son's girlfriend? Older girlfriend.
3-year older girlfriend.
Mrs. Robinson. But Dawson's like, no, she loves you. And then this is wild because Gretchen is like, do you want to hang out with my friends? And he's like, I'm good.
He's like, you mean like meet them?
He's like, sure. And she's like, great, tomorrow night. And he's like, oh, did you mean like soon? And then she wears him down. He's like, okay.
He's like, sure, can't wait. Looking forward to it.
It's a date.
The next day, Joey goes to Mrs. Valentine to ask her if she can have the weekend off for the senior class trip. And she decides to like not ask because right before she gets in there, Drew is being reprimanded. And Mrs. Valentine's like, no, honey, now's your time. So she asks her and Mrs. Valentine says, will I give it to you? No. Will I trade you for it? Yes. You have to go on this date with Drew. And who is the daughter of who?
She's the president of the yacht club's daughter. What I want to say is, who do you think you are talking to me like this for a part-time job?
She is like nasty.
You're allowed to take days off.
She's like, if the date goes poorly, you're working every weekend for the rest of the year. What?
I'm sorry.
You're not a witch. It's like a curse.
Yeah, it's wild the way that she's speaking to Joey. I would be like, ma'am, I did not survive the fire at the ice house for this.
Truly nuts. And also, I don't know if it was intentional. Something tells me that it wasn't, but Joey looks like she has been put through the ringer in this scene. Like, she looks exhausted. She looks washed out. Like, I don't know if Katie Holmes wasn't feeling well or if it maybe it was intentional, because that's kind of been the storyline of, like, Joey's really run down.
I was going to say, that's been her vibe for four seasons.
I know, but it was really weighing on her in this scene.
My question is, Drew looks, like, really miserable in this scene. Like, he's pissed and kind of getting yelled at. So, do you think he's already slept with Anna and doesn't want to take her out? Or do you think it's more like just general annoyance that his mom is asking him to do something?
I think he slept with Anna and then Anna wanted to go out on a date with him and he didn't respond to that.
Oh my God. So she had her dad do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. That's good.
That's how I interpreted it.
Oh, so just before this, that's how you interpreted it when you watched?
I don't think I thought about it that clearly when I watched, but it came to me very quickly.
You don't care about Anna's backstory?
You're sitting here watching the episode thinking about Tara and Anna. That was not where my head was at.
I'm crying.
Yeah, no, I think that that's how it happened. I think that she didn't really know how to get what she wanted. So she went to her dad and he's like, ugh, I thought I was just sleeping with this girl and now it's come back to bite me.
Wow. Okay, never thought about that. So, like you said, it's a trade. It's a deal.
Yeah. And if she doesn't succeed, she'll be cursed for the rest of the year.
She'll lose her voice. She'll lose the ability of song.
Mr. Brooks is being a little shysty. He's hiding pills in his pocket, taking sips of water.
He's not paying his nursing home bill or his home health bill for next month. He wants the documentary finished now.
Now he's handing Dawson papers to sign. Don't read it. Nothing to read here. Just sign on the line.
Dawson showed him the documentary and Mr. Brooks is like, it's great. It's perfect. Like, print, control. We're doing it. Lock it. Screen it. Because he wants to see it. Because he knows he's reaching his...
Mike is making a very dramatic...
Like, he's gonna die. Maybe it's his dream to see the documentary. Is that where you got the drink? That sounds pretty good.
Maybe. I like that. Yeah.
Mr. Brooks wants Dawson to sign something, which he says will give Dawson access to pick up his pills.
Be his gopher.
I guess at 16, you don't know. But, like, I would be like, huh?
He's like, sign it quick before Evelyn gets offended.
Then Grams walks in with his medicine and he puts it in his pocket. He's hiding. Like, he's just being shady. Sus, as the kids say.
Oh, he's sus as hell.
Oh, my God.
He is sus as hell.
Mr. Brooks is crashing out. That's what all the kids say now. I've heard it. I heard it like 1,400 times this weekend.
I've heard it on Love Island.
Well, then we go to Gretchen, who's getting ready for her date with Dawson and her friends from college. And Pacey thinks that she's too scantily clad.
He says, this is not an outside outfit. This is what goes underneath the outside outfit.
Yes. And then she picks up on some weirdness with him when she mentions Joey or when Joey comes up. And Pacey's got something on his mind.
He does.
Something so much so that it distracted him from going to get a haircut.
I was just going to say, this is Shelby Pacey era.
Yeah.
His outfit, bad. His hair, bad.
Hair is bad. It's like Beatles. I don't know what it is. It's
not good is what it is.
Speaking of not good.
Oh, Toby.
Here it comes.
I hate Toby.
Toby. First word out of his mouth literally is an insult to Jack.
He is standing in front of Jack's house and Jack comes up from a jog and he insults him. I hate this man.
What does he say? You look like a runner. Or
he says, oh, I should have known you're the type of man that jogs. Okay.
What's wrong with working on your fitness? I just don't like Toby. I'm just going to say it.
I hate him. I hate him because, he's just that kind of person that makes me so angry because he wants so badly to be close to Jack and he can't stop being a dick.
Yeah.
Stop coming around me and being a dick. I don't want you here. I'm never going to want you here. Because he looks like a hurt puppy dog. Jack is never really mean back to him. Jack's just kind of like, okay, see you later, man. And Toby looks hurt every time. And I'm like, well, stop.
I know. I don't get the like insulting is flirting thing.
No, I hate it.
Ugh. If I insult you, it's because I don't like you. And there's there's nothing else there.
Know that.
Trust me.
No gray area here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't stand him. He asks Jack if he wants to come to a tutoring program to help Boston kids. And Jack's like, ugh, I don't think so. And he's like, come on.
Toby's like, come on, you love kids. And Jack's like, okay. So Jack's on the hook.
Jack does love kids. He said, I don't want to repeat a soccer. And Toby said, don't worry. They know I'm gay. There's no problem. Toby's getting ahead of it.
Toby's ahead of it. Then we meet Anna Evans. And speaking of insulting, Anna. Drew is just nailing her. She doesn't know how to drive, Drew, her makeup.
Again, Drew seemingly couldn't be less interested in Anna based on his behavior.
But you know who does like Anna? Pacey.
He was told to be nice to her.
I don't know. I think he likes her.
You think he's into her?
A little. Not in like a cheaty, gross way, but I think he likes her. Sure. You think he's conning?
Yeah. I thought he was just being nice.
You know what? You're probably right, because when she calls him Joey, he was just going along with it because he didn't want to insult her, make her feel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right.
Thanks.
The thing that I wondered about was Joey shoots him a look. Like, you're not Joey, but it's not. I think that's like a directing snafu, maybe. She doesn't see it yet.
Right.
He's just being nice.
Yeah. I think he's just being nice and continues to be nice because basically Joey said, if this doesn't go well, I'm not coming on the trip. He knows the stakes.
And he wants her on that trip. Know that. Know that.
So they're doing their best to keep things afloat, even though Drew is doing everything in his power to tank this date. Mr. Brooks watches the movie, loves it.
Yes. This is where he says, lock it, right?
Loves it.
Screen it.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawson's like, I think you need some more editing. And Mr. Brooks does not want to hear it.
Dawson's like, I don't know. I think it could benefit from like a little edit here and there. He's like, it could be better or it could just be different. Screen it.
Mr. Brooks wants to hear about Gretchen. He really wants to talk to Dawson and just kind of get to know him. Not get to know him, but just, you know, hear how he's doing, hear what's going on with his life. It's really sad and cute.
It's really sweet. He's like, don't take it too easy. And
don't take it too slow. You know, you have all the time in the world. You're not like me, you know. So it's really sad and hard.
He says, you've got tons of time to fall in and out and in and out and in and out of love. And Dawson says, that doesn't sound like fun. And he says, it isn't. And then it is. And then it isn't.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's a really sweet moment. And this is the scene where What a Wonderful World plays behind them. So it has this like real.
Yes, this scene.
Yeah, it's really good. And then Mr. Brooks says, it's hard for me to get in and out of this chair. Can you help me up? And he reaches up his arms around Dawson's shoulder so he can like support his body weight. And then before he sits back down, he pulls him into a hug. It's so sweet.
It's super cute. And when Mr. Brooks is giving Dawson the advice, Dawson says, you know, oh, you sound so prophetic. And Mr. Brooks says, pancreatic cancer will make a profit of all of us.
Yeah. And that's the first time we hear what's happening with Mr. Brooks. And from his face, it seems like it's the first time Dawson's hearing it too.
Yeah. It's just sad. And then the close up, the over the shoulder close ups of like the reactions to the hug. It's just very deep stuff.
And then when this is the bit for me of Harv Presnell, we were talking about the actor being so good. When Dawson leaves, he just gets like welly in his eyes and you can just, it feels like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He does such a good job in this episode.
Yeah. And when Mr. Brooks says, you know, that your documentary is not half bad, Dawson knows that's like Mr. Brooks speak for like, it was really good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure in addition to the cancer, the documentary is also contributing to Mr. Brooks being so emotional.
Absolutely.
You know, and this is Dawson's first documentary. Well, actually, it's not, because he did Witch Island.
True. But that was a school project.
Didn't he say, like, it's time I get into documentaries, Mr. Brooks?
That was his foray into the Blair Witch style film, I guess. There was something so relatable to me about Gretchen rolling up like 35 minutes later, however late she is, to Dawson's dorm, being like, sorry, time got away from us, with her and her two friends. Been there, Gretch.
Look, this fashion, all of it, time capsule. What did you even call those sweaters that were like robes?
Oh, like a duster.
Is that what they're called? Yeah, you know, it's like a full-length cardigan with like a, I don't know what it is. It's amazing.
And I love that the one girl walks in and goes, this is such a great house. Is it a rental? Yeah, my 17-year-old self is renting this giant home for sure.
The insinuations in this scene are wild. Like when he says he lives with his mom and the girls are like, oh, okay. You're 21.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where did you think a high schooler was going to live? They know he's a high schooler. Like, what?
Also, Gail is on fire in this scene. She's like, where do you think you're going? I don't think I want you going to a club. Do they serve alcohol there? I think you better come home at 1 a.m. First of all, that's a pretty generous curfew. Second of all, Dawson pushes back and he's like, I have never had a curfew. Like, Dawson, what?
Sounds like it's a curfew, mother. It is, Dawson. I've never had a curfew before, mother. Okay, well, like 1 a.m. is a very, very generous curfew.
Yes.
For a 17, 18-year-old who's going to be going out with 21-year-olds
mm-hmm.
to a club.
I think it's more than appropriate.
More than appropriate.
And Dawson's like, can you guys step out for a minute? I need to talk to my mom. And he's like, if you were trying to embarrass me, you have succeeded. Okay, you got it, Dawson.
Gail wants to cut these girls. Gail is like, what fresh trash is this? Who is in my home? Who's in my impeccable home?
She's not having it.
Since when do you go clubbing? Since now, mother.
Today's the day, Mom. Mamacita. Mamacita. I'm a mommy.
Mamacita. I'm a mamacita. And then he says, if you want to baby a child, focus on your next kid.
The ship has sailed.
I'm a man.
Okay.
This is my life.
You got it, pal.
The way I would slap the eyebrows off his face, he spoke to me that way.
I'd be like, seems like you're not going out anymore, Dawson. Seems like you're grounded.
I would have lunged, belly and all.
Belly first.
I would have said, who do you, that was a zinger. That was a zinger too far, I feel.
Yeah.
Can't speak to your mother that way. Not Gail Leary.
Especially not your pregnant mother.
Yeah, who's pregnant. Who you just admitted was hormonal and not acting herself.
Anna's staring at the windmill at the golf course. They paint her to be the dumbest dumb there is. She's watching it go around in circles and Pacey's finally like, let me help. And he just holds the windmill still so she can hit it.
And Drew's like embarrassed of her almost.
Drew is so catty. He's like, let's hurry this up. I've got a date later with someone I actually want to be with.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Drew, what are you doing? What are you doing, blue eyes? What are you doing, soft lips?
What are you doing, handsome?
Leave the poor girl alone. And Joey's basically like, you need to be nice to this girl. And he's like, oh, you want me to be like Pacey? And she was like, well, yeah. And then we see that Pacey's just giving Anna the, you know, all the attention.
As he was instructed to do. There's a regular old reminiscing session as Gretchen's driving them to the club. They're talking about all their old times. And
they talk more about like sex. And Dawson's like, sex, fascinating.
I'd love to try sex one day.
A lot of inside jokes. Dawson is on the outs.
Yes, he's feeling it.
These are Gretchen's, as she said in the foyer, her sweet mates, not her roommates, sweet her mates. Sweet mates. She had a sweet, okay? Privilege.
Rich. But we know she's not.
No, just privilege.
So then there's a very uncomfortable little sit-down snack time between Joey and Pacey and Drew and Anna. And Drew's being an asshole to basically everyone.
Yes.
And then something snaps in Anna and says, this is all my fault. And Joey's like, none of this is your fault. And she's like, no, this is my fault. Why did I ever sleep with you? And everyone's like, wait, what? No one saw that coming.
It was a shocker to me. I had forgotten.
Huge reveal.
Yeah, because he's so mean.
So mean. Joey and Pacey look at each other like, what?
He says she has a nose job, which as someone who might have to have nose surgery for a deviated septum, I was like very offended on her behalf.
What if she was like, I didn't. I had a deviated septum.
I know. It was just too harsh.
Unnecessarily.
But Pacey, this is where I think Pacey turns in this scene. He's not just protecting Anna because he was asked to by Joey. He's just doing the right thing.
Yeah. For sure. He stands up at a certain point and says, is this the part where it's socially acceptable to punch this man in the face? And that's when Anna's like, this is all my fault.
This set gave me like a lot of flashbacks, nostalgia-y, just like cosmic bowling, you know, even they're at a fun park. But like all of these just look the same, feel the same.
Yes.
You could almost like smell like the beer and popcorn and hear like the music.
The weird shoe smell.
Yeah, it was just a very vivid, effective set location, I guess.
It was. In the next scene, they're going, Dawson, Gretchen, and her friends are going into the club, and the bouncer checks Gretchen's ID. Her two friends are already on the other side of the bouncer, so I'm assuming he checked their IDs. And Dawson's like, I'm driving, and just walks past him. And he's like, sir, are you under 21? Did Dawson not think that he was going to have to show his ID? A spaz.
I think he was hoping, because he just feels so embarrassed already, because he lives at his mom's house. What a loser. And he has to be home by 1 a.m. What a freak. Ugh. I don't know. This was just weird. Like, why would you laugh? Why are they laughing at him for not being able to get into...
I thought he was going to get turned away because he says he's 17. But is he 17 or is he 18? This is where I get confused in my mind. Because in my head, he's 17, but they do say 3 years and they're 21. So maybe he's 18.
I think it's around his birth. If we're going off of canon, his birthday's in the second half of season 2. So, I mean, I don't know. But he's under 21 regardless, because that's what the stamp says. But their reaction is annoying because they're laughing at Dawson for getting carded. Like, it just, none of it makes sense.
No, it's stupid.
Because he is. But what they're talking about is how, like, the car ride was very inside joke. Dawson feels excluded. And Gretchen's like, I'm sorry, I'm catching up with my two friends. I haven't seen them in a while. But I will say, like, I don't ever hate Gretchen in this episode, which is interesting.
No.
Because I think we were supposed to a little. But I think the actress is just so, she has such a likable quality to her that I never really thought Gretchen was out of line or in this episode at all.
Yeah, I agree. Even at the end, I feel like when we're supposed to feel like it's been pushed over the edges, when Dawson's like, I'll go home, you guys have fun. But I think really, like, that was kind of the right thing to do. Like, her friends are never in town, and he was like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, do you think it's a past versus present thing? Maybe. Maybe. Like, when we were teenagers, like, oh.
She left him.
But now, like, who wouldn't want to spend time with friends, you know?
And they see each other every day, her and Dawson.
Yeah, that's interesting. Might be another past versus present. But yeah, it was just, I get what they were going for. I wouldn't have Kira and Jessica laugh.
Right. Yeah. Casey and Anna have a little heart to heart. She's like, I'm not good at anything except for men. She's like, I don't know. I'm not good at it. I wanted Drew to like me, but then I fell into bed too quick, which is such a funny expression to me. She's like, do you think if I didn't, he would like me? And Casey's like, I don't know what to say to you.
And she's like, do you like me? Would you like me? She basically, I don't know why they're not just saying sex. Because for a show that talks about sex so much.
It's a good question.
I don't know if it's because we just watched it, but she's reminding me of Selma Blair's character in Cruel Intentions.
Yes. Yes. Very, like, so immature, so flighty.
Like, I'm good at sex. Are you, like, do you want to know how good at sex I am?
Her watching the windmill at the golf course.
Yeah.
It's very Selma Blair. Like, when she gets pushed out of bed and Cruel Intentions, just like, yeah. Wow.
Oh my gosh. Still holds up.
Really does.
You know what doesn't? I know what you did last summer. I know what you did last summer. Makes no sense, start to finish.
None.
There is not one thing in the movie that makes sense.
Still entertaining to watch, but night and day in terms of how they hold up.
When Gretchen and Kira and Jessica are talking about their loser list, is that like code for like how many people they slept with, or just how many people they slept with that they regret?
I think just that they regret, but I'm guessing they regret a lot of them.
Yes. Well, Gretchen basically says, like, don't worry, Dawson, you'll never get on my loser list. And Kira is like, Gretchen is a nice person and we love her, but her taste in men sucks, basically, is what she says to Dawson. Like, excuse me, Kira.
Ma'am.
Read the room. Unless they're like testing him, you know?
Could be. Kira's glittery, skinny scarf is really of a time.
It's amazing.
Also, they say that Gretchen has a tattoo of Lucky the Leprechaun on her hips, and we know that Dawson hasn't seen her naked.
Oh my gosh, that's a great observation. They've just been doing like over the clothes.
Queen Mary Beth Maziarz playing the piano.
Gretchen's friends are like, you seem nice. I'm sure Gretchen won't dump you. You're great. And he's like, I'm not that nice. Why does everyone think I'm nice?
Everybody keeps saying that. I'm a bad boy.
And there's like a Pacey lookalike that's playing the...
Yeah, the bass or whatever. The cello.
Oh my God, I was going to say cello, but I thought it was wrong.
No, I think it is a cello.
Or is it an oboe?
An oboe is a wind instrument.
Oh, sorry. Not a string. No. So then we go to Jack in the Books.
Jack's tutoring.
It's cute. The kid doesn't want to read. The kid isn't interested in being tutored by being read to or reading along with Jack. So Jack kind of spins it and was like, well, do you like, you know, telling stories? Maybe we can like write. And so he reverse engineers it to try to teach the kid how to spell through writing and not reading.
It is cute. He's really good in this scene. He's very natural with the kids. I feel like it was the same in the soccer storyline. I know the soccer storyline wasn't your favorite, but I feel like all his interactions with the kids were really good.
I mean, this isn't my favorite either. But I just want better for Jack. That's all. It is cute. I mean, it's cute. It's cute. But I think it's the Toby of it all that makes me like not love it. But
yeah, Toby's watching from afar, looking on. Actually so creepy. If you look beyond the kid's head, Toby's like blurred out, just staring at Jack.
Ugh. Toby, pay attention to the girl.
He's like, shh, shh, shh. I'm trying to listen.
He's like, kid, shut up.
Joey, in her classic Joey move, breaks up a conversation between Drew and two random girls at the bowling alley or wherever they are.
Family fun park.
The family fun park. She's like, can you please pay me the money for the baby or whatever she says. You need to take responsibility.
I love when she does that. That's an old that's in Joey's bag of tricks. She's done it a lot.
She loves to play that card.
And she gives him a little pep talk.
She does. And he opens up to her here. And I find it very out of character. And do you buy it?
I want them to kiss. I want him to pull her for a chat.
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Yeah. I am.
I've been thinking about it all week.
I think they look good.
I mean, they physically go together very well.
They both have great hair. It's dark. They're both wearing turtlenecks.
They're wearing the exact same ripped turtleneck.
They can give each other hickeys all day and night. No one's going to see it.
But do you think he's really being genuine with her?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they intended for it to be genuine, like whether we could look beyond it and be like, is he? I don't know. But I think.
He's like, look, we cuddled in the storage room and now I will be your friend.
I know it's so red flaggy and it says a lot about me, but I love Drew Valentine. I just love him. That's my man right there.
There's nothing more dysfunctional than him and Anna getting on the same page romantically at the end of this episode. She's like, do you want to go out? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Like, wild stuff.
It was very, yeah, that would never happen in today's shows.
No. But, you know, go off.
Go off, King.
Go off, you two.
I love Drew. So I get it. I get Anna is what the point was.
Well, so does she. Hopefully she won't trip and fall into bed before they go on their next date.
So he's basically opening up to her, saying that he really likes her, but he doesn't know what to do. And she's like, well, just be honest like you are right now.
He's bad at girls.
And then, like you said, he's honest later. And she's like, I love you. Marry me.
Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, this is what I was hoping would happen. He's like, next time you can just call me. You don't have to talk to my mom.
So this just, Joey's starting to, you see her stealing glances, seeing Drew liking Anna, and I think seeing Pacey and Anna interact, even though it's, you know, very harmless. I think Anna was supposed to be like this very sexual, beautiful character. And I think they maybe toned her down a little bit with like her wardrobe, I mean. But I think she's supposed to be like a wild girl, like a wild rich girl, which I don't really know if that read. But I think she's supposed to be feeling not jealous, but like kind of inadequate. Like there's a sexual girl. Maybe I should be a sexual girl.
I think you're right.
But I don't know. What I guess the point I'm trying to make is there was a lot of like intention versus takeaway in this. Does that make sense? Like a discrepancy in those, because Joey gets there eventually. Like the topic becomes about Joey and having sex. But like throughout it, I don't know if it was there. Do you think the conclusion Joey comes to at the end about sex and them talking about sex feels written to? Or do you think it feels a little contrived based on the Anna Drew of it all?
Like, do I feel like Joey's takeaway
was earned?
A little flimsy for me.
Yeah. Because it was like they didn't really, I guess they did lean into the sex. I don't know. There were little times where Drew was trying to get into Joey's head, but it didn't feel like he did.
Because I feel like he's been saying that little stuff forever to her, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So like, why is this one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do feel like it's piling on, though, from all angles more. So maybe Drew's comments have more impact.
Yeah. Look, these two want to have sex.
They do. Jack is riding the high of helping the kid. He found a way around the traditional means and he's stoked. He's so pumped. And Toby takes it as an opportunity
He's like, yes, Jack's in a good mood. Let's get him. So Toby says, come out for a cup of coffee. I won't keep you out too late. And Jack's like, you know what? Fine. I will. Not a rousing yes, but a fine will do. He says, I'm meeting some friends. Do you want to come?
And then we go to Dawson and Gretchen and her friends after the club.
This just speaks to Dawson, too. Like, I wish they would have said it was 12:30 or 12:45 and Dawson had to get home because of the curfew. He's like, I can't go to a new club. And he holds up his hand that has a stamp that says under 21. Wash your hands, Dawson. That's an easy solve. We can get that off, you know, like. That just felt silly to me.
Yeah. The evening's just been a total disaster. Those three want to keep going. And he's like, just go on without me.
Yeah. Do you think he just wants to get out of there?
I think so. I think it's been just like a night of he feels excluded. They have so much history. And then that girl saying, you know, Gretchen has horrible tastes in men. Yeah. I think he's done. Understandably.
Fair enough.
So those three head off to go to the new club.
In the club.
We all fam. But what's really cute is... when Drew is making fun of Anna when they arrive at What About Driver? She is, and then on their way out, he is like, you know, like these streets are horribly like marked. You can't even see the signs, you know, like yeah. It makes driving so hard. Drew's really come around. It's a real full circle moment.
And Drew's like, oh, thanks for, you know, giving me another shot. A lot of people would consider all those things I was saying unforgivable. And she goes, well, I'm easy. It's just a funny joke. And he's like, he laughs. They're cute in the end, but rough episode. They're
cute in the end and we worry for her.
Yes.
But I'm sure at the time we were like, that's so cute.
Yeah. Grams and Mr. Brooks are playing Scrabble by the fire. Love is the hardest wood.
Do you, I'm just going to ask because it's on my mind. Do you think these two have had sex?
I hope so.
So Grams finds all of his pills that he's been hiding.
He's been hiding them in an Altoids box.
Oh God, I love Altoids.
Yeah.
And she's like, Arthur, what have you done?
He's like, I'm thinking for myself. I want to keep playing Scrabble with you. I want my mind, baby.
Yeah, he wants quality over quantity at this point. He doesn't want to live longer and have life not mean anything.
And he convinces her. He's like, you would want the same.
It's so sad.
I know. Yeah. It is sad. He knows what he wants and he knows what he's doing. And they have a little smooch and she accepts it and leaves.
Well, A, she lived it, and B, she's a nurse. So I'm sure it didn't take that much convincing, you know? She was a nurse, is a nurse. So
she does try to give him a little spiel about God. And he's like, I don't want it in God's hands. I want it in my hands.
If anything, his argument, I think, is more God's hands. Like, he doesn't want to live by, like, you know.
Medicine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So here's my question for you. Switching gears. We go to the coffee shop. Toby's friends wave at Toby. And Jack's like, can I talk to you for a minute? And pulls Toby aside. And he's like, you didn't tell me we were meeting another couple. How did he know they were a couple?
I think they look really I knew they were a couple immediately.
You did?
Yeah.
I just thought they looked like two guys.
No, I knew.
Like, because the first time I watched it, I was looking at my phone at that point, so I didn't see it. I didn't see them. So I was expecting them to, like, have their arms around each other or, like, be holding hands or something. No, they're just two dudes sitting at a table. I don't know. That's interesting. Jack's like, meeting another couple on a Saturday night?
This is a date. This is a double date.
And Toby's like, would it be so bad if it were? And he's like, yeah, it would.
Jack is not holding back, and I'm okay with it. He's like, I don't like you. I'm never going to like you. I never liked you.
And Toby's like, why? And he's like, because we don't click. We're never going to click. And he's right. Toby sucks.
Is that not clocking for you?
Toby sucks. It's wild.
Does Toby say he started the whole tutoring thing for Jack?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's like, I thought it was something we could do together. Jen said you liked kids. Toby is giving stalker vibes.
He's nuts.
He's like, yeah, I changed my whole personality for you based on what Jen told me you like.
It's giving Patrick Bateman. And then Jack's like, well, I'm quitting. I'm done.
And Toby's like, don't quit. I'll quit. And Jack's like, no, let's not be ridiculous. We can both stay.
And I'll see you next Saturday, you weird stalker. You are literally using children to get to a man. That's crazy.
I hate it. I hate him. He's such a freak.
Children's education, more specifically. He's like, I don't know if these kids know how to read it. I don't care. What I care about is that Jack is here. And that's all that matters. I'm going to stare at him over this kid's shoulder. for a solid 25 seconds.
Dawson comes home and a Gale raiding by the fire. Lots of fires tonight. You could tell it was cold. Pacey could see his breath at mini golf. And he's like, I'm going to be number 7 on the loser list. You were right. And Gale, not afraid to admit she's wrong, says, I wasn't right, honey. I was wrong. And I've been regretting what I said to you earlier this whole time.
And she says, yes, I was being overprotective, but I shouldn't have been, because even if she does break your heart, you know, that's what makes life.
It's fine.
So basically what Mr. Brooks was telling him.
Yeah.
You know, like fall in love, fall in and out. Who cares? Not who cares, but you know, it's worth it in the end, and you'll learn a lot about life and yourself. And it was cute that Gale came to the same conclusion. I mean, she's Gale. She's iconic. She has that book on her belly.
She does.
Just chilling.
And then Gretchen comes to the door and is going to apologize to Dawson. Dawson says goodnight to Gale. And before Gale goes upstairs, she's like, my son better not end up number 7 on any list, Gretchen. We love her.
And then Dawson and Gretchen have their heart to heart.
Yeah.
Okay. The mantle has mallards.
Yes.
And like a seashore theme.
Yes. Seashells.
I feel like ducks. You need to pick.
Yeah, they don't go together. And the ducks are like black. Like
I know.
Fully
they're
black.
Like black mallards. Yeah. I don't know what is happening. Anyway, all I could stare at were the ducks. Literally, that's all I could look at.
Yeah. It's a weird, some weird decor choices.
So she immediately regretted leaving him and she comes back. And, you know, like I said, I don't hate Gretchen.
No.
I never once hated her in this episode. And I think that's leaving your friends who are in town to go hang out with your 3-year younger in high school boyfriend is... I think that's nice.
It is what it is.
Or is it bad that she's ditching her friends?
I mean, it's whatever. I think it's whatever. I think it's...
Is Gretchen a pick me?
Oh, no. I think it went a long way for Dawson. And Dawson's like, I don't want to be this young, nice guy that you're dating and you can't go out and get a bottle of wine with or whatever. And she's like, I don't care. And I like you. And that's what we're doing. So get over it. It's fine.
So the nice thing really triggered him. And then it sounds like he's not sure he earned their approval, but she says that he did. They loved him, which makes me think some of their behavior was like a test kind of, or they were kind of just, you know, hazing him. But they're fine. Let's never talk about the age difference again.
Everybody's fine.
Or the love of God. Yeah, even in that one scene, Toby's like, I'm fine. It's fine. That's fine.
It's fine.
We can be friends. It's fine.
No big deal. And then Joey and Pacey.
She's like, I cannot believe those two had sex. And he's like, well, I can, because that's what people do.
And that's all I ever think about. And it's becoming a problem. And she's like, great. So we're going to break up and it's going to be my fault. He's like, whoa, that is not what I'm saying. He's like, I just need to know what's going on because... And she's like, I want to have sex. I'm just scared.
I want you. I want sex. I'm scared. I just said the same thing you did.
He's like, you think I'm not scared? Of course I'm scared.
What are they so scared about?
I don't know.
He's done it.
He's done it more than once. He's done it more than 10 times if I had to wager.
I mean, girl.
But, you know, they're having these talks. They're getting on the same page. They're both scared. They're going to be scared together. And they got to push through.
Yeah. I guess. She's crashing out, man.
She's crashing out.
I really like when Pacey calls her Joe. And I like when she calls him Pace.
Yeah.
Just random thing that I realized I liked.
I honestly just can't wait for the next episode. So he gets out of the shirt and gets a haircut.
This shirt is wild. But you know what? This shirt is back. Like, these are back.
It's awful.
But it would be buttoned.
Whatever he has going on this episode is not good.
No, it's like he's going into Dark Pacey. It's like his dark era. It's Dark Phoenix Rising.
But yeah, they're hugging. They're fine. They're figuring it out. They're trying to see what the path forward is. Because really, the only path forward is them having sex in Pacey's mind.
Yeah. We're inching towards it. Something's going to happen. They're either going to have sex or they're going to break up.
Something's got to give.
Something's got to give. And then the episode ends on a very somber note when Dawson finds Mr. Brooks passed out on the floor. And it's kind of like a cliffhanger, you know? So
What's going to happen? Yeah. Lots happens this episode, even though it's filler set up.
It's setting up Mr. Brooks, his passing. It's his inevitable passing. And then, like, are they going to have sex? Are they going to break up? It's going to happen.
Find out soon.
And then are Jack and Toby going to like tutor her. Ugh. What book will Jack and Toby tutor next? And very noticeably absent, Michelle Williams.
Yes, she's off. Just shooting that movie.
We need her.
Well, what you watching?
I'm currently obsessed with Bachelor in Paradise, which we call Birds of Paradise. Yes. So it's a dating show. I haven't watched it in several years. I tuned in this season. It's a summer dating show where they get all the people from the Bachelor universe and throw them together. So it doesn't matter what season they were on. I'm sure people are familiar with the premise, but this season it got like a Love Island makeover, and they have a new showrunner. They have a new executive producer. So it looks different. The graphics are different. The entrances are different. The shots are different. All of it, like new challenges. So it kind of has new energy this year. So I tuned back in, and it was kind of getting old, but then they brought in the people from Golden Bachelor and Golden Bachelorette, and I could just watch them do anything. I would take a bullet for those people.
Oh my gosh. Same.
They're the cutest, the sweetest people.
I haven't watched yet, and I'm so glad to hear that it's good, and I can't wait to watch. Specifically the men from Golden Bachelorette, I adore them. I adore them.
They're so sweet. Really, like, it brings me joy. Just watching them just brings me joy.
And it's funny because I also haven't watched in a few years, but I didn't even consistently watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like, I would kind of pop in and out, and I still loved Birds or Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. So I would recommend it to anyone. If you like reality TV, it's a good watch.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to be good because Love Island finished, obviously. So it'll tide me over for the time being. And then I do want to watch Love Island UK this season that's currently on or just ended. I'm not sure which. So that'll tide me over until Love Island UK.
Amazing. You and I both watch Love Island, but maybe we can save it until the reunion comes out, and then we can do a watch-a-watch and then talk about it as a whole.
Yeah. What about you? What are you watching?
Well, we finished Ozark finally. I'm done mm-hmm. with Ozark, which is super exciting. The last season was really good. I feel like it's always really good, but it's one of those shows where, like, even until the last episode, you're like, how could they possibly tie all of this up? So much was happening, and then they brought it home. I thought it was good. Everyone's going to have stuff to say about a show that's super popular and the way it ends, but I was happy with it. And I'm watching Stick on Apple. Oh, yeah. Have we talked about that at all?
No, how is that?
It's good. It's cute. I wouldn't go in expecting like the best show ever, but I really enjoy it. The finale comes out today, so I haven't seen it yet. I'm into it. The penultimate episode I thought was really good. I think it's cute. And it's Owen Wilson, Marc Maron, Judy Greer's in it. It's strong. I like it.
I did want to watch that. Like, I'm not a big Apple. I feel like Apple shows and we've talked about this, like how certain networks have a brand that's not like, I don't really love FX shows usually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I feel like I have yet to really click with an Apple show, although I did watch Morning Show. I watched Morning Show and I liked the one with Eva Longoria. But I did want to watch Stick because I love the cast. I think I'm going to give it a whirl.
Well, they're going on a class trip next episode.
They're going on a class trip. Joey earned
she earned that those time 2 days off. Yeah.
If I've ever seen it.
She was fighting for her life on that date, and she did it.
Speaking of next week, what will the Dawson's drink be?
Next week for episode 414, A Winter's Tale, we will be drinking the Opry Ski. It is a variation on an old-fashioned. So it is pecan-infused bourbon, Amaro Nonino, blended scotch, rich syrup, and Angostura bitters. Sounds delightful.
That does sound good. I wonder if I've ever seen it on a menu because, you know, I'm a skier now.
I do know that.
Just checking.
I do know that. Oh, speaking of, how did you almost die at Olympic Village? We teased it and then we didn't talk about it.
So we went to Park City and then we went to the Olympic Park, which is where they had the 2002, the event. But I guess now it's like a training facility. Mm-hmm. And so in the summer, they turn it into the slopes for the jumps turn into like tubing, extreme tubing. And then they turn an area into, you know, adventure courses, rope courses, all of these things. And you can actually do a bobsled race, like a legit luge. I'm sorry, luge.
That's cool.
So it's really fun. It's really cool. It's like a little mini theme park, but it's very activity focused. So zip lines and whatnot. And they had something called the drop tower, which is when you do a zip line to like another wooden tower. And then you jump 70 feet. You're in a harness but I'd say 55, 60 feet of the drop is free fall. And then for the last like 10, 15 feet, the suspension kicks in and like you slowly kind of lower. It's not slowly, but it's much slower, you know?
Yeah.
And so I did it. And the funny thing was, you know, I'm a very anxious, nervous, but I was just doing it all. I was jumping. We did three things where like you jump into basically like a big parachute. And there were three levels of that. I did it. I did the zip line. Like I was kind of fearless for a day, which is very unlike me. And then for this drop tower one, you literally just step off a wooden structure. Like you just take a step. They don't want you to like jump. They just want you to like, you're just walking off a cliff. And I did it. And then I kind of forgot to stick the landing kind of a thing. Like they say to like put your knees up and like you're coming out of like a swing or a chairlift or something. And I'd kind of forgotten. So I came down a little harder, but on the way down, my helmet somehow cracked, fell off my head. Like the strap came off. And so when I hit the ground, my helmet like was on my shoulder, like it was like hanging off. And all the people who worked that ride attraction like rushed over to me and were like, "Are you okay? Oh my God, we've never seen that happen. What happened?" And they like took my helmet and had a huge crack in the side. Like I could have literally probably died. I'm going to tell them. Like it's a head. That could be a potential head injury.
Sure.
And I think it's where the helmet came down, this mark in between my eyes. Mm. I think it's where the helmet came down. But the strap of the helmet did something to my like throat.
Ugh.
Because my throat is like really sensitive. But wow. But it was fun. Like I went tubing after that, and tubing was really, you know, that shook my confidence a little bit.
Sure.
So I started to get a little more fearful.
But how, like the literal top part of the helmet cracked?
The side of the helmet was cracked. I don't know if I had like hit it on, they were baffled as well.
Well, thank God.
Praise be.
Honestly.
I have another chance alive.
Yeah, that's one of your nine lives.
Here I am.
Helmet breaking aside, taking a step off a 70-foot platform, was that scary?
Terrifying.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was scary. It was fun, though. It was very fun.
Well, awesome. I'm glad you're still here.
Yeah.
You maybe should have squeezed them for a couple shekels.
I was thinking about it, like getting a refund, but
yeah.
You know, I got a refund on death.
That's right.
And that's priceless.
Well, all right. I'm glad we didn't forget to close that loop. People would have been upset with us.
And Elbow Saga is still going on.
Strong.
So there's no closure there. That loop is still very much open.
We'll keep you apprised. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.